Haven't you enjoyed us singing this morning?
Amen.
You should already, your cup should be overflowing with the blessings that God has given to us. And I know that this is not the end, it's just the beginning of what He's got in store for His people today. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel is where we'll be reading from. One of my favorite passages of Scripture this morning, and God's laid upon our hearts. I actually thought we'd be reading from somewhere else, and God just put it together so wonderfully. So I want to just try to follow Him today, because I ask you to do that, and I need to do it as well. And wonderful, wonderful singing, wonderful spirit, great time of fellowship that we've already had. But there are still folks that are in these pews. Some of them that might be at the house that's standing in need of an answer to a prayer that they've been praying. And we know that you and I, folks, without the help of God, we can do nothing. But with the help of God, He said all things are possible. And I don't know what your impossibility is that you're facing this morning, but God does. And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes of time from the book of 1 Samuel. In the first chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word today, it teaches us this morning what we have need of. And go with me, if you would, down to the ninth verse of this first chapter of 1 Samuel. Start reading there today. He says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it shall come to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Eli was the high priest. It says, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, but only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Balaam, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too." And stop reading there with that 16th verse, and you can be seated in the house of God. And the Lord's laid this thought upon my heart, so I want to share it with you. And I'd like to use for a text this morning a Hannah prayer. A Hannah prayer. Because Hannah wasn't playing around. Too often we go to the altar and we pray, and we don't really look for God to move. We don't really tell God what it is that we stand in need of. We don't really come open before God. Has anybody else ever prayed and you tried to hold things back? Sometimes we try to hold them back because we think to ourselves, well, He's God. He knows what I stand in need of. But oftentimes when we get down and serious with the Lord, like Hannah did, we'll find ourselves that we'll pour out our whole life before God like we have not done it in a long time. The Bible says it teaches us that Hannah knew God. Now, I don't know if we got lost in the mist or not this morning, but I want to preach to you that us that know God, how many of you know what God can truly do? We just think we know what God can do. Because we've seen Him move in so many cases, in so many circumstances, that we think that there's nothing that we haven't seen our God to do. But folks, every day I see how big our God really is. More so than yesterday. And I'm about to see Him do His greatest work. And his greatest work is when he has the trumpet of God, the sound declaring that time shall be no more. And the clouds are bringing in the Son of God to gather his elect from the four winds and take us home. You're talking about a great God. That's the kind of God we serve. But Hannah was provoked. And I want to preach to you this morning, sometimes the enemy will provoke us. See, her husband, Elkanah, he had many wives. And his other wives, especially the one, if you'll go up a couple verses for where we stopped reading there, Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and to her daughters' portions. So he at least had these two wives. And the Bible says that her adversary, Peninnah, would provoke her. Because every year he would give gifts to his wives and to their children and to their children's children. And she would provoke her saying, look at what I have. Look at all this that I have because I have children. And Hannah was, her womb had been shut up by the Lord. And this other woman would make fun of her and poke fun of her and say, you will never have what I have. Sometimes the enemy will come against us and tell us that what it is that you have need of, what it is that you want, you'll never have it. I have it. Look what I've got. But you'll never have it. Has the enemy ever come against anybody else and told you might as well give up on your hopes and dreams? You might as well quit following because it'll never happen. And Hannah could have very well have stopped right then and there and been very respected as she just couldn't bear children. And her Elkanah took care of her. And she could have just went her whole life without a child. But she had a desire in her heart. Can I preach to you this morning? Before you will ever see anything happen in your life, you have to have a desire. You have to have a desire to see what God can do for you. The Bible teaches us that prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. I also put this down because this is what it means to me. Is that it is what you want or need more than anything else. And when you get to that situation, you can really pray. And I want to say this as well. Don't wait for Rob and Sharon to get a song of invitation. God lays up on your heart to pray. You bring your little hand of prayer and come on. Oh, that'll preach, won't it? But I also like this. Is that when I think about my hand of prayer, it's a prayer that will defeat the enemy. That when the enemy has come and taken away your hopes and your dreams and said you might as well give up, you might as well just walk away. That's when it's time to have a Hannah prayer. Because Hannah was serious about her prayer. The Bible says that she was in bitterness and she turned and she prayed unto the Lord and she wept sore. She prayed so much that she vowed a vow that, Lord, if you will give me this that I ask of you, this male child. See how specific she was in her prayer? She didn't just say, will you give me a child? She said, you give me a male child. Specific. Anybody need something specific to happen in your life this morning? I know you're going to help me preach today. She was specific. You give me this male child, and I'll tell you to show how much gratitude I have for you giving me this child. That when this child is weaned, I will give him back to you. I will give him back to work for the Lord. She, if you'll have it, and you go back and you read in the book of Numbers and about the sixth chapter, you'll find that what she was saying, that this child is going to be a Nazarite. This child is going to be a Nazarite. And the Bible teaches us there was only four lifetime Nazarites throughout the cover that was there. And they was dedicated unto God. A razor would not come to their head. And they was dedicated to the work of God. She said, Lord, I want this child more than anything else in this life. But if you will give me this child when he is weaned, I will take him back to the temple and I will give him a loan. In fact, she said, I'll loan him unto you. That's what she said. She was serious about this. And she went on to say that while she was there and praying, See, folks, she didn't care what anybody else in the church thought about her prayer. How many of us has ever prayed a prayer when it didn't matter who was around us? How many of us has ever prayed a prayer where sometimes when we were so broken and we were so down and out, it was just us all by ourselves, maybe at the house or in a car or maybe out in the field somewhere. When we really got serious with God, we prayed like we had never prayed before, except for the day that we asked Him to save us. This woman was serious about her prayer. She prayed so that when the priest Eli come in there to the where she was at, he saw the tears are flowing, no doubt. He saw the lips are moving, but he heard nothing. And he thought that she was full of wine. And she says, "No, I have not even drunk of the wine. But of what I've been doing, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." She come serious about her prayer. If only we could have more Hannah prayers in our life. She wasn't playing around this morning, church. She was serious. Not just any prayer, but a specific prayer saying, "Lord, this is what I want you to do for me. And if you will do it for me," and I caution us on this part, before you make a vow like Hannah did, you better be willing to fulfill that vow. Because the Bible teaches us that it's better not to make a vow than it is to make one and break it. She was serious. "Lord, you give me this male child, and as soon as he is weaned, I will give him back to you. I will loan him to you to work in your house." God knew that there was a need in his house for a male child. Can I preach it like that? He knew that Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, was not doing the work that they were supposed to be doing. God knew that he needed a man to stand and preach the word to the children of Israel. He knew that he needed a man that would not hold back and would give them the full counsel of the word of God. And he knew that by answering this woman's prayer, that she would brag on what the Lord had done for her. In fact, every year she come back to the temple, moms, and she made a coat for that boy every year. And that young man, as she brought it to the temple for him to wear. That mother was proud of her son. She was proud that God gave him to her, and that she was able to give him back to God to work in his service this morning. And the priest thought that she was drunk but she came and she said, "I'm of a sorrowful spirit and I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Read that in verse 15 at the bottom part of it. "But she said, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too." We've got folks this morning, and God put this all together. We've got folks this morning that You've come with the burden for your loved ones. You've come with the burden for the circumstances that's going on in your life. Some of you even raised your hands this morning and said, "I've come because I'm the one that needs an answer to a prayer." I ask you today, if we will just pray like Hannah did, we'll find out that God will not just hear our prayers, but He will answer our prayers and give to us the desires, the sincere desires of our hearts today. Larry Jones, some folks might criticize me in the way that I preach, but I believe this, that there is nothing that God will withhold from His children that He loves today. No matter what it is that you have need of, my God is able and willing to give us everything that we have need of, because He is the Father of the whole world, Brother Ivan. He's the one who owns everything that you and I see, and everything that you and I want, and everything that you and I need. God is the one who owns it all in the first place. I and you, He has entrusted us to give us things along life's way, and I thank Him for it. But every once in a while, there's a need that comes in. As I said this morning, I'm going to preach for a few minutes today, if it'll be all right. As I come in this morning, I said my heart is broken for some of the things that some of your family and friends are going through. Maybe some of you that are going through. My heart is broken, but yet there's only so much that I can do, and in most cases there's very little that I can do. But folks, I still have a Father that is sitting on the throne in heaven above. I still have a brother that is sitting at the right hand, and I still have He, the Holy Spirit, that is willing willing to take my needs and my concerns, my prayers from this mortal body and carry them to the third, above the third heaven, into the celestial heaven that where God lives at, and He's able to take them there, and not just take them there, Chad, but He's able to bring back an answer. Robin, Sharon, every once in a while, sing a song. The answer is already on its way. This I know because the Bible, the Word of God, tells me that God will hear and answer our prayers today. I want to preach to us this morning that we need some folks that's not ashamed to get down and pray like they used to pray in the old time churches. Can I preach this morning? You know why our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas had such power with God? Because they didn't care what a brother or sister might say about them when they went down upon their knees to pray. If the tears began to fall in the house of God, they was willing to shed a tear to praise God and honor Him. If the Holy Spirit passed by their way and they felt like shouting, they didn't care what somebody on the front pew or the back pew might think about it, because they didn't come to please man. They come like Hannah to please God today. And we need to please God in this house this morning as well. The Bible says, in Robin Sharon sang that song, the last song that they sung about, when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha did not care who knew that Lazarus was sick. And they said, "You send word to Jesus that if He would get here, everything will be all right. We know that our brother will live." You know what happened? The Bible says that Jesus tarried a few more days before He went back. And when they got back to that city where they lived at, Jesus got there. The Bible says that when He went in, they said, "Master, if You had just been here, our brother would not have died." And the Bible teaches us that Jesus was talking to them because they had a hand of prayer, did they not? They didn't want their brother to die. They wanted him to live. But Jesus looked at them and said, "Your brother shall live." And they said, "I know he'll live at the resurrection." But folks, they was looking away off in the future. Jesus, I believe, He looked them straight in the eye and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." This morning, it doesn't matter what the enemy may have told you about. You may get it next week. You might get it next year or the year after, or maybe 10 years from now. And if you never get it on this side, you'll surely get what you have need of when you get to heaven. I don't serve a God that puts it off from year to year. I serve a God that hears and answers the prayers of His people this morning. And if there's any interference in the answering of our prayers, it is not God's fault. It's because the enemy has come against our answer, coming to us again. You remember, can I preach a few more minutes? You remember the Bible says that when Daniel was there and they prayed for 21 days, and the Bible says that the answer did not come. When it finally came, Daniel inquired and said, "Where have you been? I needed you 21 days ago." He said, "The Lord heard you from the first time that you prayed, but the enemy come against us to stop the answer to your prayer coming." Folks, let me tell you, he might come against us. He might delay it, Sister Sharon, but he cannot stop the good things that God has got in store for you and your family and for me today. All good things that He has, we shall receive them if we pray our Hannah prayers. The Bible says that a man that really blesses my heart had a Hannah prayer. It says that there was a man in the book of John in the 5th chapter. It says that there was a man, and I didn't put the wireless, I feel like walking this morning, Larry. But the Bible says that there was a noble man, a certain noble man. And this noble man had a child that was sick, even at the point of death. This man had a hand of prayer. He did not, can I preach this morning? He did not send a servant over there to find Jesus where he was at. He didn't send his wife. He said, "No, this is something I need to take care of myself." How many of you this morning have got a talk that you need to have with the man of God, all for yourself, for nobody? Don't send nobody else, because it's only you that can talk to God and tell Him what it is that you have need of. This nobleman went over there and he found Jesus. And Larry Jones, the Bible says, when he got there, he began to tell the Lord about the shape that his child was in. See, he was specific this morning. I might say that a few more times before this message comes to a close. And the Bible Bible says that the Lord said, okay, and I'm paraphrasing, I know your child is sick, let's go over there and I will heal your child. And he said, no, Lord. He was like the centurion was. He said, I'm not even worthy that you would come into my house, but if you will just speak the word, I know it will come to pass today. The Bible says that when that nobleman got back to his house, he found his child not sick, not laying in a bed, but he found his child that was whole, and he began to inquire. And he said, well, what time yesterday was it that this child got out by the sick bed and began to play and began to be a child? And you know what they told him? They told him the time. And he said, you know what? That's the exact time that I was talking with the man over there in Jericho. He told me that I could just come home and believe. I couldn't wait to come up and down the hills. I couldn't wait to go through the valley, because I knew when I got here I was going to see something good. And no doubt, like many of us, he probably one minute Bob thought, my child is whole, and then the enemy would come and say, no, your child is still upon the sick bed. But the closer he got home, the greater the excitement built. And when he walked in a house and he found a bed empty, I imagine he began to praise the Lord for the good thing that God had done for him. People say, well, what kind of praise did they give to him? And I got to go back this morning. I might have to finish this tonight. But the Bible says that after Hannah prayed and she received this child, Larry, she prayed another prayer. Don't forget to go back and praise God for the prayer that he's answered for you. And she said, my horn is exalting in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. For there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God today. This ought to make a Baptist church happy. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bones of the mighty men are broken, and they that are stumbled are girded with strength. They that are have full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren have borne 7, and she that have many children is waxed feeble. Listen at this, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to his grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill, to seek them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give them strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Folks, she said, if I can close this morning with this little prayer, what she did, she came back and said, and I'm just going to condense it if I can, there is no other God that can hear and answer prayers like our God can today. I tell you, you can trust in the world, you can trust in the doctors, you can trust in society all you want to, but you will never receive what it is that you have need of. Some of you this morning come to church heartbroken because the enemy has told you to give up, throw in the towel, and just walk away. I've got news for you. If you'll pray a Hannah prayer, God will give you the victory this morning that you can leave this little country church knowing that maybe not this afternoon, maybe not tonight, but tomorrow, my answer's going to come, and I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to walk out of this valley. Then praise the Lord for the victory that he has given me over the enemy that's come against me today. And like Hannah, folks, there's no time to throw in the towel and quit. Her enemy that came against her, she could have very well said, no, I can't have children. I might as well accept it. What is it that you have need of, that you want more than anything else? Now, I have to put in a disclaimer here. We have to pray, Lord, if it be thy will. If it be thy will. What is it that you want or need more than anything else? You've got family, you've got friends that have needs. Sister Charlene, we've all got family that I look at their lives and I say, oh, if only they could get a hold of God. They cry and they moan. Their lives are pitiful. And I'm not just talking about your family, I'm talking about ours as well. Their lives are pitiful because they've accepted this is as good as it's ever going to get. Folks, let me tell you who you are. You're not just a nobody. You are somebody because you are a child of the living King. Can I preach a few more minutes? I got to find a hushing place, Ron. Folks, you should never lower your standards to accept what the enemy gives to you. But we ought to raise a standard and say, I am a child of the King. Everything that the King has, it belongs to me. I'm not a nobody. I'm not a cast out. I'm not a cast away. But I am a born again child of God. And by His Word, I have some things that I can claim. I can claim to be victorious today. I can claim to be the head and not the tail. I can claim to be first and not last. Folks, the Bible even says if we claim ourselves in the Lord, we will be the lender instead of the borrower today. People say, I don't like this kind of preaching. It's the truth by the Word of God. When we get serious with the Lord, we can see the mountains melt away and us lifted up to where the world will look and say, look what their God did for them. Look what their God. Your Hannah prayer has to be like the publican's prayer. And I'm closing today. That publican, when he knelt down to pray, folks, he didn't have an ounce of pride. You know what's wrong with us? We go to church and we're afraid we're going to get our knees of our britches dirty. We're afraid that somebody might see us act a little peculiar and begin to think something different about us. We're afraid that if we really act the way that God wants us to and we begin to pray like Hannah did, somebody might think we've lost our mind. Well, Brother Eli, it doesn't matter what anybody might think about me. It doesn't matter what anybody might say about me. I am a blessed child of God. I'm going to stay blessed and I'm going to keep on praying my Hannah prayers because you need them and you need them and I need them today. I'm thankful that God just doesn't let me pray them for me, but He lets me pray them for you as well. And you pray them for us this morning. As long as we keep saying our Hannah prayers, that we will see victory take place in our lives, in our children's lives, and in our grandchildren's lives. People might look at me and say, do you really believe that? If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it. If I didn't believe it, I'd find me a different God that could take care of me. But I have found this from my days of my youth on up to now. The Lord has never failed me. The Lord has never let me down. I have yet to call upon Him in a hand of prayer that He didn't show up and take care of the circumstance. And not always the way Roger looked for it to take place. But folks, He's always taking care of His children. He said that He would, the writer said it like this, and I'm trying to find a hush in place this morning. The writer said like this, I was young and now I'm old, or I'm old and I was young, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Let me tell you, let me get some witnesses this morning as I close. We've got folks in this midst of this congregation this morning that have had bad things to happen to them. And the Lord laid this on my heart, and I got to preach it today. We've got folks that almost lost everything, and God turned their life around. We got folks that did lose everything, and God blessed them to get some of it back today and more. And people say, well, hey, if they lost it all, how come God blessed them? You remember what happened to Job? The enemy came and he took away the good things that Job had, but when Job prayed his hand of prayer, we find out that God gave him more back in the end than what he ever lost in the beginning. How many of you this morning, you've lost some things and you're waiting for God to give you back more than what you ever had to begin with? People say, do you really believe God can do that? I'm a Hannah praying God today. He's a God that can hear and answer our prayers. And folks, if we'll just keep praying and keep looking, God will supply it for us. And I also want to tell some of you, and I touched this on this Wednesday night, it grieves my heart to see people who've lost hope. I promise you this, it doesn't matter what the enemy has done to you. It doesn't matter how deep he has drugged you into the hog pen. God knows where you're at. Oh, hallelujah. The devil, the enemy has never put me anywhere that God didn't know where I was at. He tried to hide us away. But God knew exactly where we was at. He knew exactly where we was at. Let me put this in. Jim's been teaching us about the trail of blood, and I'll probably call it wrong every time, but one of the things that happened is that this man stood up for the gospel, and the church hated him so much that when he died, they dug up his bones and burned them and threw them out to the dust out into the sea, thinking that he will never have any remembrance whatsoever of his life or anything he ever did. But let me tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows where every one of us was buried at. He knows where those stones are that's unmarked. He knows the ones that was taken to the edge of the ship and dumped overboard during the wartime. Folks, God knows where you're at. We've got folks this morning that have been diagnosed with terrible diseases, and many of folks say you might as well throw up your hands and quit because death is imminent. But we've got some witnesses here this morning that can raise their hands and tell you it doesn't matter what the enemy says. When you get down and pray and had a prayer, you will see God move in heaven, and you'll see a difference come in your life today. You say, well, you're crazy. I'll die believing it. What science can't explain, I have to look at it and say, it's an act of God. Some of us today are so broken. We put on our best smiles. We put on our clothes and we try to hide the hurt and the pain that we're going through. Folks, let me tell you, you're doing nothing but deceiving yourselves into believing a lie. Robin Sharon, get us a song. I'm trying to hush. All you're doing is believing the lie that the enemy has brought into your mind. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to cast it aside and pray a hand of prayer and say, Lord, you know my life. You know my circumstances. You know my needs. You know my wants. You know everything there is to know about me. There's things that God knows about you that your spouse don't know. Did you know that? There is no secret to God. What you swept under the rug, God knows about. Those things you've tried to hide, God knows about. He even knows the very intent of your actions, your thoughts. He knows all about you this morning. But yet, He says, if you will just pray a hand of prayer. You know what a hand of prayer is? It's a childlike faith prayer. Because Jesus told His disciples, He said, unless you come unto me as these little children, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. This morning, some of you need to lay aside your pride. Can I just be frank with you this morning? You need to lay aside all those preconceived notions and ideas of what you want to do, where you want to go, what you have to leave behind, if I could put it this way. You say, well, I can never leave all that, and I can't get past all the things that I've done. No, they will stay with you because man won't let you forget. But there is a God with a hand of prayer. Oh, listen to this today, church folk. There is a God that if you will pray a hand of prayer, the same God that saved you is able to forgive you of all that you have ever done. People say, well, He really do that? He told us that we have a Savior. The same God that saved us is able to keep us by His grace. And He's able to forgive us if we'll just go back and ask. You know what the Bible says? We have not because we ask not. Or we ask amiss. See, Hannah, she asked. This might have been the very first time that she ever prayed like this. I believe it was. And the years prior to that, she probably said, I wish I had a child. But this time, this was no wishing. She got down and prayed. And she prayed until she prayed. Some of us today, we say, well, I would go and pray, but if I'm a little lengthy, I'm afraid the church would get impatient. You know what our forefathers used to do in the church? They would stay there all day and all night if it took it for a soul to get right with God. Folks, you and I ought not to put a time limit on the service. Some people say it starts at 11, it ought to be over with by 12:15 at the latest. And if the Lord's not moving, I say, let's get out as quick as we can. But when the Lord is moving, we ought to say, self,
be still. Be still and watch God move. Because somebody's got a hand of prayer that they need to pray. Would you stand with me this morning? And I ask you to do this while they sing this song. Don't you worry about what somebody else might think or say. You know what you have need of. You bring your hand of prayer to God. You pray like Hannah did, and you'll see the results like Hannah did. Go ahead, Rob. Why don't you follow your heart this morning? You say, well, what will people say? What matters is what you and God knows needs to take place right now. Where's your prayer? If you never ask God, you certainly can't expect to see a change. But when you ask God, you can look for an answer to come. Would you follow your hearts today? Some of you know you need to move right now. Because the situation is not getting better. It's getting worse. It's not getting any better. And the enemy will not allow it to get better. But God can change it for you. Step out, mom and dad. Young man or woman. Step out and pray like Hannah prayed. Pray unto God because He's the only one that can change that circumstance. While these are praying, others need to pray. Because the answer is on its way. Would you follow your heart? This is the last verse of this song. If God doesn't tarry, this is it. But I ask you, how long are you going to deny yourself of the blessing that God wants you to have? How long are you going to allow the devil to get the victory in your life when all you have to do is ask of God? Would you do that this morning? Bless that one. Somebody else that needs to come. Your little prayer can cause heaven to move. Your prayer. Not my prayer for you, but your prayer can cause heaven to move. Yes, bless that one. Others that need to step out. Some of you know that this word has touched your heart. You know that it's the truth. You keep hoping for the circumstance to change. You keep waiting for somebody else to do what they were supposed to do. I advise you to just take it to God and say, Lord, you know my circumstance, but I come and talk to you about it. My little hand of prayer is able to get great results because I believe God is able this morning. Yes. Bless these today. Bless those of you that's praying there in your pews. Yes. The Bible says that after Hannah prayed, listen to this. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of Him. Folks, my prayer is that God would answer every one of your prayers. Whatever it is that you've prayed for, if it be in God's will, I pray that He will answer it. You say, well, why does it mean that much to you? Because I like to see God's people blessed. Amen. Every time I see a big house or a nice car or somebody in a big job or something, you know what I think? That'd be a good place for a child of God. People say, you've got some strange thoughts, Roger. I'll tell you why. Because God can bless His people above what the devil can bless his. And, folks, it doesn't matter how big the house is. If you don't have God in it, you don't have a home. You just got a house. You could have a one-room shanty down on a gravel road or a mud-filled road. But if you've got God, you've got a home this morning. You've got a home. This morning, my prayer is that you'll take this Hannah prayer home with you. Because she didn't cut no corners. She didn't go and say, God, you know these other people make fun of me. That's why I want this child. She didn't do that. At this certain time, Brother Mike, I don't know why. At this certain time in her life, she wanted a child more than she wanted anything else. And not just any child. She said, Lord, give me a male child. Give me this child. And then, just to show how much she appreciated, she said, Lord, I'm going to name him Samuel. By interpretation, that means ask of God. Some of us has got Samuels in our lives. Amen. How many of you got prayers that God's answered for you? I want you to do this. When you go home and you're walking right by one of those blessings that God's given you, just call it Samuel. You say, well, my kids look at me awful funny if I call them Samuel. But you know what? Everything God's given us, He said, if you'll ask, I will give it to you. This is a Samuel church. I'm looking at a bunch of Samuel people. I got a Samuel car out in the driveway. I got a Samuel job. I got a Samuel house. Now, some of the Samuels that God gave me, at first I thought I wanted them. And I've come to find out that I should listen to God and not pray it the second or third time. Amen? Some of y'all laugh at me, but you know it's true. God sometimes allows, He's permissive in allowing our prayers to be answered, even though He knows it's not best for us. So be careful what you pray for. Amen? Hope you got something from the songs and from the Word this morning. Have you enjoyed being to the house of God? Amen. Well, I tell you what. You enjoyed it that much, you ought to come back tonight. Because I'm sure the same God met with us this morning is going to meet with us tonight. And bless us all over again. And remember our service. Remember each other. And if God allow you, you say that little Hannah prayer for somebody else. That God will help them. And I know if we will, God will hear and answer these prayers today. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Get you a good lunch and get you a nap if you need one. And come back tonight expecting good things to happen when we come to the house of the Lord.